right. Thank you, John. Open your Bibles tonight, if you would, to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter 2. I know this is a familiar place and one that we've been turning to quite often on these past Sunday evenings. We've got some more things to look at when it comes to rightly dividing the word of truth. This subject that we are covering on Sunday evenings is so essential to properly understanding your Bible. All things in the Bible are written for us, but not all things in the Bible are written to us. And the best thing you can do in rightly dividing the Word of God is ascertain or discern what's written to you and what is not written to you. We've looked at many examples of that and so many things in the Bible that are written for us, for our learning, for our admonition, but not written directly to us. And we're going to continue looking at those things tonight. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, notice our foundation verse for this study, verse number 15. Here, Paul told young Timothy is training under Paul, his mentor, for the ministry. Paul has left Timothy in charge at the church of Ephesus. Paul has preached there. A church has started there. He's leaving Timothy, a young man, unmarried man, with questionable health. He's leaving him to pastor that church, and Paul gives him these words among so many in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He tells Timothy this, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." A pastor's primary job and responsibility is, verse number 15, studying, being a workman, not being ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, what does it mean to rightly divide? That means there are places in the Bible that need to be separated one from another. There are some divisions in the Bible. All of it is written for us. Aren't you thankful we've got Genesis? In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. We're thankful we have that information, though that information is not specifically to us. We're thankful we have that information. We have the story of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That information is all for us, though not necessarily to us. The spokesman in the Old Testament for Israel was Moses. And Moses gave them the law and the commandments. They were given to Israel. When we take the law and commandments for Israel and apply them to the Gentile, we are not rightly dividing the Word of God. Therefore, the Old Testament laws do not belong to New Testament Gentile people. And yet there are folks today that want to go back to that Old Testament law, worshiping on Saturday, for example, on the Sabbath day. That was under the Old Testament law. That's not to us. We can read about it and know what God did for those people, but that's not written to us. It's written to the Jew. When we get to the New Testament, everybody knows that division, that blank page between Malachi and Matthew. 400 years of silence that took place where God did not inspire any writings. And as we go from the Old Testament to the New Testament, now we have a new spokesman when we get to the Gospels. That spokesman is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And so there's a change in spokesman from Moses in the Old Testament to the Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels. Now we listen to Him. You know what He said in Matthew chapter, is it 20, I forget the chapter, but He said, "You have heard that it was said of Moses, but I say unto you." Notice the contrast and the difference? He said, "You have heard of it said by Moses, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you, if any man smite you on the right cheek, turn to him the left." There's a new spokesman to new people. Now that law, that Old Testament law of the Jew is passed, and Jesus becomes a new spokesman with new laws and new regulations. It's really easy to understand when you follow through it. But so many folks can't rightly divide those things. So the Old Testament laws and commandments are not for us. Those were Moses, the spokesman to the Jew. In the Gospels, it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And He's speaking to the Jew in the New Testament. Right? Remember what He told His disciples? We saw that. Go not to the Gentiles. Go not to any but to the lost house of the sheep of Israel, the lost sheep of the house of Israel. When Jesus was here on earth, they went to the Jew, never to the Gentile. One extreme example, again, we saw where the Syrophoenician woman came and said, "Lord, grant that the dogs may eat from the tables that fall from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." And she got a healing in her family because the Lord said, "Great is thy faith." But that was an exception. It was to the Jew. So we've got Jesus in the Gospels giving His commands and being the spokesman to the Jew. Jesus was taken and crucified. One of his apostles steps into the limelight, that is, Peter. He becomes now the spokesman in Jesus' stead, so to speak, to the Jews. And as we studied the book of Acts the last couple of weeks, we saw that in the book of Acts, it's Peter that stands up in the midst of the 12 and says, it is fit that we find a new apostle to replace Judas, who by transgression fell. Peter becomes the leader, the spokesman for the Jew. We find him on the day of Pentecost, while the Jews have gathered from the four corners of the world and all come to Jerusalem to worship. He stands up and he preaches on the day of Pentecost, and thousands are converted. Thousands of Hebrews, thousands of Jews are converted, not a Gentile in sight. Don't insert yourself into something that's not for you. And Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, and he said in verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Peter is speaking to a bunch of Jews as a spokesman to the Jew on the day of Pentecost. And yet Gentiles today are quoting that verse and using that verse as a plan of salvation. It's all for us, but it's not to us. That was Peter on the day of Pentecost preaching to all the Jews that had gathered there. You say, was their message different from ours? Just like the Jewish message of the Old Testament is different. Just like the message of Jesus in the Gospels is different. Just like Peter's message in the first half of the book of Acts is different, it's all Peter preaching to the Jew. Now, in Acts chapter 9, and I want you to turn there. In Acts chapter 9, we have a turning in history. As we studied last Sunday night in the book of Acts, we see that the book of Acts is a book of transition. Out with the old, in with the new. The gospel has come to the Jew. Jesus Christ came as the Messiah to the Jew in the Gospels. They rejected him. Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and basically told the nation of Israel that Messiah that was promised came, and you nailed him to a tree and you crucified him. You crucified the Lord of glory. Stephen got up in Acts chapter 7 and went through the whole history of the nation of Israel from Moses and Abraham all the way down to tell them again the same thing that Peter had said, you've rejected your Messiah. And how did the nation of Israel react to the preaching of Stephen? They went out and they picked up rocks and they stoned him to death in Acts chapter 7. Now God says, all right, Jews, I gave you a chance. Hebrews, I gave you the whole Old Testament. I gave you the Gospels. And even when you crucified my son, I still gave you a second chance to receive the kingdom to yourself. I let Peter pronounce it, and now Stephen's pronounced it, and you've rejected it. So in Acts chapter 9, somebody gets converted that changes history. And that is a fellow named Saul of Tarsus who becomes the Apostle Paul. I cannot minimize the importance of the Apostle Paul for the rest of history. We need to be careful that we don't overemphasize. Paul is flesh and blood. He said, I'm the chiefest of sinners. He's the first one to admit he was nobody really special. But just as God used Moses, just as God used Peter, so God is using Paul in these days and his message to reach the world for Jesus Christ. He's not using Peter. You understand that? He's not using Peter. Peter, and this is not to diminish Peter. But Peter's ministry was for the Jew. Look at Acts chapter 9, verse number 15. Let's let the Bible say it, because it can do it so much better than I can. In Acts chapter 9, when the apostle Paul is converted, and verse number 15, here's what the Lord said to Ananias, who was scared by Saul when he met him. Here's this man that's put so many believers in prison, and Ananias is afraid of him. But the Lord said to Ananias in verse 15, the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he, Saul, is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. Paul was specifically chosen to go to the Gentiles, something that had not been happening in history up to this point. 4,000 years of Old Testament history, not going to the Gentiles. The years of the gospel, even though Jesus said, go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost, they had not gone to the Gentile. Now God saves a man on the road to Damascus, not one of the original 12 apostles. He saves one, Paul said, born out of due season. And he says, here is my spokesman. Get this. Here is my spokesman to the Gentile. Look up, if you would, at Galatians. Now, we're going to do a lot of turning tonight again, because I want you to be convinced by the Word of God, not by my presentation, but by the Word of God, that what I'm saying is true. Galatians chapter 2, because this will help us understand in the midst of a lot of confusion in our day. Preachers are getting up and Christians are throwing Bible verses out that are not to them. They're taking Bible verses that did not apply to us in the day we live in and try to apply them, and you come out with a mess when you do that. Blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of God. That's not for you. That's Matthew chapter 5. That's Jesus to a bunch of Jews on the Mount of Jerusalem, on the Mount of Olives, or at the Sermon of the Mount, telling them, here will be the rules and here will be the law in my kingdom when I set up my kingdom on earth. There's not a person here that can live Matthew chapter 5. Because you need the presence of Jesus Christ on earth to be able to do that. You ever read that verse that said, he that says to thy brother, Raca, thou fool, will be guilty of hellfire? Have you ever called somebody a fool? Have you ever heard somebody else call somebody? Does that mean they're going to hell? Well, if it's Matthew chapter 5, it does. Matthew chapter 5 is not to us. You've got to be careful. All right, Galatians chapter 2, notice this. Galatians chapter 2, verse 7. Here the Apostle Paul is writing, he says, but contrarywise, when they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision, now you know the uncircumcision is the Gentile. Circumcision is the law of Moses to the Jew. Uncircumcision is the Gentile. When they saw that the gospel of the uncircumcision was committed unto me. Paul said the gospel of the uncircumcised, the gospel of the Gentile, was committed unto me, Paul said. But as the gospel of the circumcision was to Peter. Peter was the minister of the gospel to the Jew. Paul is the minister of the gospel to the Gentile. All right, who is our spokesman then? It's not Peter. It's Paul. Look at verse number 9. For he that wrought effectually in Peter to the apostleship of the circumcision, the same was mighty in me toward the Gentiles. So Peter was the apostle to the Jew. Paul is the apostle to the Gentile. In the book of Acts, we start with a strong Jewish foundation, nothing but Jews. In the middle of the book of Acts, we see this mix taking place where it's Jew first and also to the Gentile. Then by the end of the book of Acts, we get it over to where Paul is in Rome, strictly Gentile. And so Paul becomes the spokesman to the Gentile. Your spokesman is Paul. It's not Moses. It's not Peter. It's Paul. So what Paul says is for you and for me. Look in Galatians chapter 2, back up to verse 2. Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them the gospel which I preach among the Gentiles. Paul's ministry. Now you understand his missionary trips, and we'll kind of get into this later. His missionary trips, whenever he went anywhere, he went to the synagogue first, and he preached to the Jew. But then he went immediately, as soon as he fulfilled his responsibility to them, he went to the Gentile and proclaimed the gospel to them. Paul was the missionary to the Gentile. Let's look at some other things that Paul wrote along this line. Go back to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11. Verse number 13. I hope you're writing these references down. We start in Galatians 2, verse 7 and 8. We looked at Galatians chapter 2, verse 2. Also, Acts 9:15 told us that Paul was sent by God to be a vessel, a chosen vessel to the Gentiles. In Romans chapter 11, look at verse number 13. Paul said in the book of Romans, in chapter 11 and verse 13, "For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office." Not I magnify myself. I magnify my office. Paul said, I am the apostle to the Gentiles. Now, he's not bragging. He's not exalting himself above everyone else. But as God chose Peter to preach to the Jew, Paul is the messenger to the Gentile. All right? That makes it very clear for us. Because if it's something that Paul said, if it's something that Peter said in the book of Acts, that's not for us. If it's something that Paul said, it is. Let's think of it this way. We've already said it. Peter said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and ye shall be filled with the Holy Ghost." Paul said in Acts chapter 11, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Notice the two differences? So which one do we listen to? Peter's to the Jew. Paul is to the Gentile. Peter's the spokesman to the Jew. Paul's the spokesman to the Gentile. Which one do we listen to in the day we're in? Our spokesman is Paul. He says, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. Look over at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Again, I know using a lot of Bible tonight, but that's because I want you to see this is rightly dividing the Word of God. This is looking at the Bible to let it explain itself. Too many times people want to explain the Bible themselves instead of letting the Bible explain itself. And one of the most difficult things to do is after you've been saved a while is to go through and read the Bible and take your predetermined mindset out of it. That's one of the things I struggle with the most when I read it. I ask God, help me to see that it's as if I'm reading it for the first time. That I don't read and say, I already know how this turns out. I already know what this says. It's so easy to do that. When you've read through it so many times, you just say, you take it for granted. You know what's coming next, and so you're not really thinking about it. But we need to look at it like it's the first time, and we have no preconceived ideas when we get there. That's very difficult for anybody to do. In 1 Timothy chapter 2, look at verse number 7. Paul said, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle, I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not, notice, a teacher of the Gentiles in truth and verity. Nowhere in the Bible did Peter ever claim to be an apostle or a teacher of the Gentiles. He was an apostle and a teacher of the Jew. Second Timothy, if I can read my writing right, just a couple pages over, 2 Timothy chapter 1, yes, verse number 11. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 11. Paul said here, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. All right, very clear. Paul said it over and over again. Again, not magnifying himself. He said, I magnify my office. God at his conversion set him aside specifically to be the presenter of the gospel to the Gentile. And because of his missionary journeys in the book of Acts, America today has the gospel. Because we are a Gentile nation. And Paul is our spokesman. We see that over and over and over again. That gave Paul an attitude that what God had entrusted to him was something special. The gospel of the circumcision was given to Peter. So Peter's message to the Jew is different from Paul's message to the Gentile. They're both trying to get people to worship God and turn to God, but by different revelations. Notice what Paul said about the gospel. Look at Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16. Romans chapter 2. Now you've got to understand Paul so we don't want to pin something on him that's egotistical. He said, I magnify my office. He said, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Something had been laid on him that he felt the burden and responsibility to do. He did not elevate himself to become. Just like this, Peter never elevated himself. Religion has elevated Peter. Religion has made him to be something he never claimed to be himself. He never claimed to be an unmarried founder of a religion. But religion has made more out of Peter than they should. And now today, the Pope was just in our nation a month ago. And he is the representative of God on earth through the line of Peter. Peter is not for us. They got the whole wrong line going there. They got the whole concept incorrectly. We're not looking for something through Peter. We're looking for Paul. He is the apostle to the Gentile. Notice what he says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 16. He says that there is a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Paul says there is a day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to, notice what Paul says here, according to my gospel. Now again, please don't think Paul's being egotistical. But God has given something new and fresh to him that Peter didn't have, that Moses didn't have, that the Lord did not present during his earthly ministry. Paul got something brand new. And that was the gospel, which is 1 Corinthians 15, that Jesus Christ was crucified, that he was buried. On the third day, he rose again. You know, Peter didn't preach that other than a little bit after it happened. Most of his preaching was before the cross. Moses never preached that in the Old Testament. He preached about a coming Messiah that was going to lead Israel out of bondage and bring in a kingdom on earth. But Paul got something new and special. In fact, he calls it many times in the Bible a mystery. A mystery. It was his gospel. We are now saved by the preaching of Paul's gospel. It was the gospel to the Gentile. Look at Romans chapter 16. Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. Paul writes at the closing of the book of Romans, chapter 16 and verse 25. To him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul says, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. That mystery, if we had time to study, is the mystery of the church. It was a mystery. When you started back in Genesis and looked through the pages of the Word of God, you looked for a coming Messiah and you looked for a kingdom of heaven coming down to earth. And as you looked out in that distance, you never saw the church. It was hidden. The word church never appears in the Old Testament. It doesn't show up till Matthew chapter 18, right before the Lord is crucified. Why? It was a mystery. But it was revealed to Paul after his conversion that Jew and Gentile would be one in one body. And Paul said in verse 25 that he will establish you according to my gospel. The preaching of Paul was different from the preaching of Peter, different from the preaching of Moses. And Paul is our spokesman. 2 Timothy again, chapter 2. Again, I know lots of references, but I want you to see this from the Word of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 8. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 8, Paul says here, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, Paul says. My gospel. Now, again, I don't want to have to say it too many. Paul is not being egotistical. He's not saying my gospel as if he's the one that died, was buried, and rose again. But he's saying this was the gospel entrusted to him to take to the Gentile nations, beginning at the end of the book of Acts. Paul is our spokesman. He's a spokesman to the uncircumcision, to the Gentile, presenting the gospel as God revealed it to him, and now through the Word of God reveals it to us. Paul is our spokesman. Therefore, he says, look at 1 Corinthians chapter 4. I know we've gone through a lot of... I hope you're writing the references down, because when you get done with these references, I want you to see where they're grouped. I want you to see where all these references that we're looking at, what Paul says, where they're grouped in that little cluster that we're in here. So you'll see it, and it'll kind of be amazing when you sit back and look at it in a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. Paul says this, wherefore I beseech you, be ye followers of me. You know the only other person that said that in the Word of God was Jesus Christ. Moses never said, follow me. Peter never said, follow me. In fact, when they did follow him in John chapter 20, it was backslidden, getting out of the will of God when they went fishing. But Paul says, be ye followers of me. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 11:1 so we understand it correctly. 1 Corinthians 11:1, so again, we don't think Paul's being egotistical. He's not. But God has entrusted him with something. It is like the President of the United States declaring his office. His office gives him the power. This is my office. This is my nation. This is my country. Paul is saying the same thing. God has chosen him to be the apostle to the Gentiles. So he says, therefore, be a follower of me. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Again, so we see Paul in the right context. He's not just saying, be blind followers of me, but be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And all these churches in Galatia and Ephesus he went into, he said, be followers of us. We've set the pattern for you. Be a follower of me. So Paul is setting the example because God has entrusted him to be our spokesman. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse number 9. Here is Paul speaking to the believers in Philippi, speaking to the church there. Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. Now, if that was not written by inspiration, wouldn't that be kind of arrogant? Paul saying, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And to the church in Bysville, to the church in Guernsey County, to the church in Ohio, to the church in America, to the church in the world today, Paul says the same thing. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. Paul is our spokesman. Back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. I know we're turning a lot, but again, I want to be exhaustive in seeing all the verses that tell us that Paul is the man that we follow, not Peter. Religion today wants to tell you, follow Peter, follow Peter, follow Peter. No, Peter was the minister of the gospel to the Jew. And that day has passed. Even Israel today is now to listen to Paul. Because God has turned from the Jew, according to the book of Romans, and turned from the Jew to the Gentile, and one day in the future will turn back to the Jew. And so after a little while in your Bible, you're going to keep turning. You know what you're going to find? Hebrews, 1 and 2 Peter, in a little while, but not where we're at right now. Paul is our spokesman. Here in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 7, here's what Paul says. Consider what I say. That's what Paul says. Consider what I say. You and I, New Testament church, are to listen to the Apostle Paul. It's not if Peter said it, we disregard it, but what Peter said was applicable. It was to the Jew. What Peter says is not to us. Acts chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, when it deals with Peter, is not to us. But when it comes from Paul, it's for us. 2 Timothy, look back at chapter 1, verse 13. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which was in Jesus Christ. You see all the, be ye followers of me, those things which you've seen and heard in me. Here he says in verse number 13, the things that thou hast heard of me. Paul is our representative. He is our spokesman. He is the one giving the gospel to us. Look back, if you would, at Acts chapter 20, and here's one verse that's out of that category we've been looking at so far. And we'll narrow this down for you real quick in just a minute. Acts chapter 20, and verse number 24. Acts chapter 20, and verse 24. Paul says here, but none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus Christ, notice, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. The gospel, you ought to underline that, the gospel of the grace of God. That was Paul's gospel. When he said, according to my gospel, according to my gospel, three times, my gospel. What gospel is that? The gospel of the grace of God. Peter did not preach the gospel of the grace of God. The Lord Jesus Christ in the Gospels was not preaching the gospel of the grace of God. Remember we looked at Isaiah chapter 61 and Luke chapter 4 and saw that the word gospel, the Bible defines the word gospel as the good tidings. The good tidings. So the good tidings that Paul, what Peter was preaching, is the good tidings of the kingdom, that the Messiah had come. The good tidings that Paul is preaching is that the Messiah already came. But he died, was buried, and he rose again on the third day for your justification. Peter didn't preach that. The Lord didn't preach that when he was here on earth. Moses never taught that in the Old Testament. That is Paul's gospel, given to him by God by revelation. The gospel of the grace of God. Given to him by revelation. Look at Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Now here's the problem. Here's something that a couple folks asked me the last couple weeks. Pastor, if I get this CD of these studies over the past few weeks and I give it to somebody who is of a different persuasion, that is listening to Peter, will this convince them? And my simple answer is this, I have no idea. If they are hungering and thirsting after righteousness, if they're looking for truth and they listen to it, yes. But if they are so dogmatic and defensive about what they already believe, that they're not going to hear anything different, this won't make any difference in the world. But to you and I, it does, because it helps us rightly divide the word of truth. It is amazing how many folks in Christianity have no clue that the Bible has divisions in it. And that when Moses said to the Jew in the Old Testament, and Jesus said to the Jew in the Gospels, and Peter said to the Jew at the beginning of the book of Acts, is not the same as what Paul says to us in the day we live in right now. There's a different message for different people. Now, don't misunderstand me. Everybody's saved by the grace of God, by the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But there were expectations on the Jew in the Old Testament, expectations in the Gospel, expectations at the beginning of the book of Acts that are not expected of us today. Now it's Paul saying, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But Peter said, repent and be baptized for the remission of sins, and you shall receive. It's not the same message, because it's not to the same people. Colossians, I said, chapter 1, verse 11. Notice what Paul says here. Colossians chapter 1, verse number 11. Did I say Colossians? It's Galatians. Can't read my own writing. Galatians chapter 1, verse 11. Here's what Paul says. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Now what does Paul mean right there? The gospel which he preached, you remember he got saved in Acts chapter 9? When the Lord Jesus Christ appeared from heaven as a bright light at noonday and knocked him off the back of the donkey and knocked him to the ground and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul said, who art thou, Lord? Jesus said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Those thorns, those pricks of conviction were hitting Paul, and Jesus said, it's hard. And he said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And Jesus sent him to Ananias to be baptized, and after that sent him into the desert of Arabia for 3 years while the Lord taught him one-on-one. He wasn't taught by Peter. He wasn't taught by James. He wasn't taught by the apostles. He wasn't taught by anybody. He says, I didn't receive it of man, verse 12. Neither I received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. What God gave Paul in the desert of Arabia was brand new. It was a mystery revealed from the foundation of the world. That the Son of Man would come, be crucified, buried, and rise again the third day, and now the gospel of the grace of God would be preached by Paul, who received it not by any man, not by tradition, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. That is a special message. That's the message we get today. Don't go back to the message of Peter. Don't go back to the message of Moses. We have a special spokesman today who is given a message by divine revelation, and that was the Apostle Paul. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. Verse number 1, Paul is writing from the prison. He's been put in prison because of his preaching. In Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1, Paul says, for this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God. All right? The dispensation, that's a time period. The dispensation of the grace of God. So there's a time period of the strict grace of God, which is given me to your word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore, that's back in Colossians, in a few words. So we see that Paul was given something special directly from God as a message to give to you and I, and that is the doctrines of the New Testament church. We get everything we got by divine revelation from God to the Apostle Paul, and now committed to our trust through his writings. We do not get our doctrine from the book of Acts. We do not get our doctrine from Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John. We do not get our doctrine from Genesis through the book of Malachi. We get our doctrine from that which was given by God to Paul. Peter never used the word doctrine. You know that? Search your Bible. Get a concordance out. Look in 1 and 2 Peter, look in the book of Acts. Peter never used the word doctrine. Paul, in his epistles, uses it 21 times. Why? He is the one that gives us our doctrine. Now, let's boil it down. How do we know what's from Paul? If we know that Moses is not our spokesman, Jesus in the Gospels is not our spokesman, Peter in the book of Acts is not our spokesman, how do we know what is ours from Paul? Look at Romans chapter 1. And if you get nothing else tonight, get this. Romans chapter 1. Look at the first word in Romans chapter 1, verse number 1. What's that first word? Paul. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. I'm excited. We've got about two more Sunday mornings in Sunday school finishing up the second coming of Christ. And I've been working for some time now in the book of Romans. That's where we're going. As soon as we finish the second coming, we're going verse by verse through the book of Romans. No outline, nothing like that, but we're going through it. And I'm already into it, and I'm excited about it. And I think you will be too once we get started. But notice the book of Romans starts like no other book has started. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, the Old Testament. It starts with the name of the author. It says, Paul, a servant of God. Verse number 7, to all that be at Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. So here is Paul writing to believers. Writing to the church. You know what that means? The book of Romans is for us because it's written by Paul. That's our spokesman. Go to the end of the book of Romans to 1 Corinthians. First Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 1. Look at the first word. What is it? Paul. Verse 2, unto the church of God which is at Corinth. So in 1 Corinthians, we know who's writing it. Paul. How do we know? Because it starts with his name. No other epistle starts with people's names like that, but Paul. And he's telling us, Paul, unto the church of God. So what Paul writes in 1 Corinthians is Paul writing to a church. In Romans, Paul writing to believers. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Verse number 1. What's the first word? Paul. You know how the Lord did that? Not because he was an egotistical man, but because God wanted us to know that we get our doctrine and our spokesman is the Apostle Paul. So each of his letters starts with the name Paul. So we'll know that's for us. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Look at Galatians. Galatians chapter 1, verse number 1. You say, well, it was just Paul's habit to do this. No, he was writing by divine inspiration. He was making it simple and clear for us. Galatians chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle. And he's writing to the church at Galatia. Look at Ephesians, the next book. Can I just speed dial right now? Look at Ephesians. Look at Philippians, look at Colossians, look at 1 Thessalonians, 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, Philemon. Look at all those books. And the first word in all 13 of those letters, the first word is Paul. That makes it very easy for us. Where do we get our doctrine? From Romans to Philemon. As a New Testament church, in the age of grace, where do we find our doctrine? From Romans to Philemon. Now, we're going to cover Hebrews to Revelation later on. We'll talk about that canon right there. But right now, we're making it clear. The Old Testament's not us. The Gospel's not us. The book of Acts, not us. But now we hit the book of Romans to the book of Philemon, and everything that you need to know about your doctrine today is from Romans to Philemon. If somebody is telling you how to get saved by the Old Testament, it's not for you. By the Gospels, it's not for you. By the book of Acts, first half of it, not for you. Stick to what Paul wrote from Romans to Philemon. Where do we read about the doctrine of salvation in our day right now? I preached on it last Sunday morning. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You know where that's at? That's in the book of Romans. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Romans, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. The Lord Jesus Christ shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. 1 Corinthians, 1 Thessalonians, both written by Paul. All of our doctrine for our church today comes from Romans to Philemon. But I deliver to you that which I have received of the Lord, that the same night in which he is betrayed, he took bread. This do in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Baptism, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the book of Romans. The body of Christ, specific to the Apostle Paul. You won't read about the body of Christ in the Old Testament, in the Gospels, in the beginning of the book of Acts. It's Paul's ministry to us. There's a difference between what was written before and what's written now. Let me give you one example, and then we'll have to stop for tonight, and there's many others we'll continue on next time. Get two places in your Bible. Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51 and Ephesians chapter 1. Psalm chapter 51, Ephesians chapter 1. Now, here's what you know already. Psalm 51, Old Testament to the Jew in a different dispensation. Ephesians chapter 1, New Testament, written by Paul, written to us. These two things are going to contradict each other. How do you explain them? Now, I know how the radio preacher and TV preacher explains them, but how do you rightly divide the Word of God? One was true of the Old Testament, the other is true of the New Testament under the writings of Paul. Psalm chapter 51, David has sinned with Bathsheba. A terrible, terrible sin. Brother Weirich mentioned it this morning, a sin that caused repercussions in his four children. Sin that caused the death of an unborn baby. Sin that caused the dividing of his kingdom years later and David to do unspeakable things he wouldn't have done before. And yet David had a broken heart, and because of his sin, he cried out in Psalm chapter 51. Look down at verse number 9. He's crying out to God and he's saying, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." David is brokenhearted. He's repentant over his sin. In verse 10 he says, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Verse 11, "Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me." You know what David was worried about after his sin? That God would cast him away out of his presence. That God would take his Holy Spirit away from David. Oh, wouldn't that be a fearful thing? Didn't that happen to Samson? Remember one time he got up and he shook himself and knew not that the Spirit had departed from him? That happened to Saul, the king of Israel. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit would leave him and an evil spirit would come on him. David saying, "Oh God, please don't allow that to happen to me." And some will take those verses today and say, that can happen to you too. You can lose the Spirit of God. You can be saved and be cast off because of your sin. Not true. Ephesians chapter 1. Rightly dividing the word of truth. What is written to the Jew in the Old Testament is not necessarily what's written. Now, if there's something in the Old Testament that matches Romans to Philemon, go for it. If there's something in Hebrews to Revelation that matches Romans to Philemon, put it in there. But if it contradicts it, it's to a different people at a different time. David said, "Take not thy Holy Spirit from me." Ephesians 1, verse number 13 says this. Paul says in verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. What does that mean in verse 12? It says we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. David was not sealed with the Holy Spirit. Saul, Samson, Old Testament believers were not sealed with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit did not come down in that function until the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And today, when you and I trust Christ as our Savior, we don't have to worry when we sin. Oh God, cast me not out of Thy presence. Take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Paul says, you've been sealed unto the day of redemption. You ever gotten that can of green beans? Or yams? Or strawberry jelly that's been canned? And you go down there and you have to wrestle with it to open that lid and pop that lid. Why? It's been suction sealed. It's going to be preserved. It's going to be good until the day you pop the top off of that. And the Bible says that when you got saved, you got sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise unto the day of redemption. David didn't have that. Saul didn't have that. Samson didn't have that. People in the Old Testament didn't have that. People in the Gospels didn't have that. People even in the beginning of the book of Acts, we studied it last week, when the Holy Spirit came, when it went, all that. They didn't have that. But you and I have it now, from Romans to Philemon. That's where we get our doctrine. Paul is our spokesman. When you hear somebody saying something, again, everything in the Bible is for us. They that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled, Matthew chapter 5. That's not to us, that's to the Jew in the millennium, but that's still for us. We still ought to apply the principle of it, so don't think we're discarding the rest of the Bible, but when it comes to our doctrine, when it comes to how to be saved, when it comes to the second coming, when it comes to the ordinance of the church, when it comes to the body of Christ and so many other things, it has to start with Paul. Paul, why? He's our gospel. The gospel of the grace of God to the Gentile, to the church in the day that we live in. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Let's stand together this evening with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. So much more than I say this. A tithe ought to be a good starting point.